Well, good morning, church family. The angel at the tomb of Jesus Christ told the women who had come to properly anoint his body for burial, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen." Oh, those are the best, that's the best news ever uttered on this planet, that Jesus Christ is alive. He overcame death and the grave. What a wonderful thing that Luke, the physician, wrote in the Gospel of Luke. This morning we're going to be in Luke chapter 24. We're going to start with verse 13. But I just want to remind you who this gospel writer was. He was a physician. He addressed facts, not feelings and not fiction. So he also records that there were doubts among the apostles. And so even though these women were told that Jesus is not in the tomb, he's alive, even though they went to tell the disciples, guess what? It says that they did not believe them. It actually says here in Luke 24 that it seemed to them an idle tale. Wow. So what is Jesus going to do? Later in Luke chapter 24, after the passage we're going to look at this morning in verses 13 to 35, when you get down to verse 36, Jesus visited in the home where all of those disciples were gathered together. Let me tell you, they were surprised because he really was alive and he is alive today. So in between the angelic announcement to the women at the tomb and the initial apprehension of the apostles, Luke records two eyewitnesses to a post-resurrection visitation and encounter with Jesus Christ. And what I found striking about this historical account is the practical application and correlation to this year's home celebrations of Christ's resurrection. Isn't that amazing? You know, actually, this that we're doing today, as we each worship the Lord Jesus Christ and we remember how he's alive and so forth, do you know that that is more biblical than we may ever imagine? The primary focus of the message, as I said, is Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. There's going to be two disciples here, and by the end of this passage, you're going to see they're actually going to welcome Jesus into their home. Are you going to welcome Jesus this morning into your home? Do you know that there are several times that Jesus met with people in their homes? When I was a missionary in Japan, for example, we often had what we called house church. And so we would gather and worship the Lord, and we invited friends and neighbors and so forth to join us. But I'll never forget, one time I discovered it in the Gospel of Mark alone, there are 10 house meetings that Jesus attended. Think about Cornelius and Lydia, the Philippian jailer, Crispus and Stephanas. Do you know what all of these have in common? It says that whenever they received Christ, that their household also believed. Isn't that amazing? You know, I'm praying that every family in our area would come to know Christ and that they would begin to live for him, worship him, obey him, follow him as a family. You know, as I read about this man that's going to be in our text today, Cleopas, and what some scholars believe could have been his wife. You see, there are two. We're given the name of Cleopas, the man, but we're not told who the other person was. Many Bible scholars think that could have been his wife, since they invited Jesus into their home. But I want you to consider, as we read through here, inviting Jesus to be the honored guest every single day, not just on Easter Sunday, every single day, to be the honored guest in your home. I want us to look at a passage that I think will tell us what are the steps to inviting Jesus, to welcoming Jesus into our home. Let's look at Luke 24, verses 13, all the way down through verse 35. You follow along in God's copy, in your copy of God's word. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. And then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back, saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' And then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." Let's pray together. Oh Lord, this was a lengthy passage, but I believe there's such a great message. I believe it's one that's going to bless us this very Easter weekend. And so God, remind us, Jesus is alive. And so Lord, I pray for every family. Lord, we love our community, and I pray for the families of this community that they might know that Jesus is alive, that they might know that you've got a great plan for them, and you can work that plan out despite all that's going on around us. So, Lord, you speak as we review 5 simple steps from this passage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's look at this passage a little more closely. I want to present to you 5 steps. If you would like to welcome Jesus into your home, into your family, into your heart, then I would like for you to remember these 5 things. Let's look at it together. When you look at Luke 24, verses 13 through 26, I think we'll see the first thing. 2 people on their way home from celebrating the Passover lamb in Jerusalem. Just remember, whenever they were putting the blood on the doorpost back in the book of Exodus, and whenever they were still remembering and reflecting upon that date, you know what they were doing? Something very similar that we've done here when we observe the Lord's Supper. They're remembering how the Lord delivered them from the death angel. You know, these two assumed that they were having a conversation between two. But you know what? A third one was there. Here's the first step. I submit to you, if we're going to welcome Jesus into our home, the first thing we need to do is to recognize he's already with us, to recognize the presence of God. It must have been interesting for Jesus as he walked along with them. Who do you think these were? Some people say, well, I think that these two, they couldn't have been part of the 11, so they must have been two of the 72. There were 72 disciples that Jesus commissioned at one point. Some say maybe they were two of them. Others say, no, I'm not sure. They definitely were interested. They definitely had heard a lot about the Lord, but they still seem to have gaps and holes in their understanding. But one thing is for sure, even though they were sad, even though they were confused and disappointed, don't you see an openness to these two? These two knew a lot of information about Jesus, but they were unaware of one thing. He was walking right beside them. Do you know that the Lord is right there in your home? Maybe you're a senior adult and you're there in your home by yourself. You assume, but listen, God's there with you. Maybe you're a family and you're struggling. Maybe this has been a tough week. Perhaps the husband or the wife, somebody's lost their job. And there's a lot of things that you're uncertain about. There's one thing you can be certain of. Jesus is with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Wow. You know, it's interesting that they assumed that Jesus was dead and therefore gone, no longer relevant to their lives. I think there are Americans who make the same assumption, but it's a false assumption because Jesus was right there with them. I know there are some people who may be wondering, if God is here, if Jesus is alive, then where is he as we struggle with this pandemic known as the coronavirus? Well, I just want to remind you that Jesus is exactly where he was when Daniel's three friends went into the fiery furnace. You know, they were going through a very difficult time. It didn't look like they would make it out of that alive. And yet in that fiery furnace, when King Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, you know what Daniel says? The king saw a fourth person, someone that they did not put in there, and yet he was there. That's Jesus. Do you know the Lord is with us no matter where we go? So the first thing, if you're going to welcome him into your home, is realize he's been there all along. He loves you so much. All those good and perfect gifts that you have in your life, don't you know they came from God? God loves you. That's the first thing. The second step in welcoming Jesus into your home is also you must realize that God has a plan. That God has a plan. You know, to these two disciples or these two seekers, whatever they were and whoever they were, life seemed filled with chaos, didn't it? But little did they know that God and Jesus, there was a plan. Life was not chaotic and out of control. Life was in control, moving right along as the Lord had planned. You know, it's perhaps the heaviest irony that's found in the Bible. In this verse 18, when one of them named Cleopas answered Jesus, and listen closely to what he says. Isn't it humorous? He says, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? Isn't that ironic? Because if you really think about it, Jesus was the only one who knew all the things that happened there those days. I want to encourage you with a passage that's found in another part of Scripture, so I want to give you some ample time to find it. But would you look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 has a very encouraging word for us whenever we feel life's out of control, he can't possibly be working things according to a plan. I want you to listen closely to what is written for us, for our comfort and admonition in Ephesians 1, verses 7 through 12. Here's what it says. In Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying God's got it under control. God's working off of a plan. And God's going to arrange all of life so that it moves in the direction of bringing glory to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought, wow, thank you, God, for what a word of encouragement and comfort that we can receive from that this day and time. Just when they thought, it's all over now. No, it wasn't all over. Jesus was right there. Do you know that God has already written the future? Oh, yes. If you ever read the last book of the Bible, it's called Revelation, if you're new to the scriptures. Revelation chapter 5, in that passage, it says that up there in heaven, they were looking for someone that they could hand the scroll. And on that scroll was written the future of the planet Earth. And they're saying, who is worthy to hold this scroll in his hands? And there was nobody found worthy until the Son of God, the Lion of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ, came across heaven. And the Father safely placed that scroll with the future plan for this world into his hands. And that's where it is this day. So I wanted to encourage you from Revelation 5:7 that the future is safely within the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's move back, if we could, to Luke 24, because I believe there is a third step that we need to take if we're going to open up our home and our heart to welcome the Lord Jesus Christ in as Lord and Savior. I believe we must also rely upon his promises. Especially, we must rely upon his promise for the resurrection of his Son. Trusting in the Bible's declaration of the resurrection of Christ is essential to salvation. It's essential. Do you know that in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it actually says that we must confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, and we must believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. If we don't do that, if we don't take that step, then I'm telling you, salvation has not come to our hearts yet. But whenever we can say, I believe that he died on the cross, I believe that he was placed in the tomb, and I also believe with all my heart that God raised him from the dead. I know that some people struggle with this. For some, perhaps even you, for sure, these two, they struggled with that one truth, with that one promise. You know, it's interesting how these women were told by the angels that Jesus is alive, the tomb is empty. And yet, you know what it says? When they went back to tell the disciples, they did not believe them. And here you have these two disciples, these two seekers. There they are saying the very same thing. They're saying, well, we were amazed. These women said that the tomb was empty. But, you know, if the tomb's empty, his body wasn't there. And so they still were having trouble believing. You know, it's amazing that the testimony of the women, the evidence of the empty tomb, it just didn't seem to be enough for these two. What about for you? What is it that God would have to do to convince you of the reality that Jesus is alive? You know, in Scripture, God left us a lot of eyewitness accounts. As a matter of fact, there are 10 distinct post-resurrection appearances recorded by various numbers of people in the New Testament. For example, there was times when Mary or Peter or James, whenever one, or there's times like this, whenever Jesus would appear to two. There were times when there were five. There was a time when there was like seven men out in a boat. There were times when the disciples were gathered together and Jesus appeared. Thomas wasn't there. So then he came, and so he appeared to all 11 of them. And there's one time that it says he appeared to more than 500 at one time. Isn't that incredible? All of this evidence, all of these eyewitnesses giving testimony over a 40-day period of time in random places, some in the cemetery and some in a home, these on the road, all these different places that he would just appear. I'm telling you, Jesus is alive. He's changed my life. He's changed the lives of so many in our church family. If you're watching today and you're a visitor, I want you to know he can change your life. He's alive. There's a fourth step, though, that we still need to take. If we're going to open that door and welcome him to come, the fourth step is very, very important. Welcoming Christ into our homes also includes remembering the pain, remembering the suffering. It cost Jesus for our redemption. You know, we owed a sin debt that we could not pay. And so Jesus came to pay that debt because he was perfect. He was sinless. That's why he could pay the debt and we could not. But Jesus took time on that road to Emmaus. Whenever those two are walking alongside of Jesus, he took time to explain this. Why was it necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Well, verse 27 says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You know, have you ever thought to yourself, what was the greatest sermon you've ever heard? Have you ever thought, what was the one sermon in your whole life that just stood out above all the other sermons? I don't know about you, but this is the greatest sermon I think has ever been preached. When Jesus preached from the beginning of the Bible all the way through that this is what it says in the scriptures about me. Wow, I wish I could have heard that one. Well, how blessed those two were that they got to hear it. But did he ever refer to the days of Adam and Eve when Eve said one of her descendants, God told Eve, one of your descendants is going to crush the head of the serpent? Did he remind them of when Noah got his family into the boat and when the judgment came, they were safe because they were in the boat? What about when Abraham offered up his son on the mount and just before he took his son's life, the Lord provided a ram caught in the thicket? What about Moses and how all of those sacrifices in the Old Testament, what were they about? They were all pointing in the direction of Jesus Christ, as all of these things. In the Psalms, in David, David was promised a king that would have a kingdom that would last forever. Daniel heard a similar promise. Isaiah was told there's a servant who's going to bear the sins of the world. Zechariah, he prophesied that someday when the Messiah comes, he's going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. He's going to be betrayed by someone for 30 pieces of silver. You see, Jesus is the storyline of the whole entire Bible. He's what it's all about. I know that the Bible can be very difficult and hard to understand, but the one thing God wants you to understand is that he died on a cross. He died on a cross to pay the price for your sins. That's redemption. But he also was placed in a tomb and he rose again. That's resurrection. So let me wrap it up with one final step that we need to take. If we're going to open that door to Jesus and invite him into our home, into our heart, then we must receive the presentation, the gospel presentation. You see, these two on the road to Emmaus, they could have listened politely and disagreed inwardly. Maybe there's someone watching at home and that's the way you've been up to this point. You've listened politely, but maybe inside you're disagreeing. Well, I want you to know that had these men had that kind of attitude, it would have been totally different. They could have smoothly ended their personal encounter with Jesus in saying, well, this is where we get off. This is where our home is located here in Emmaus. You know, thanks for walking with us. And they could have smoothly ended it all right there. Maybe that's the way you're going to end this service, is by just saying, that was nice. I'm glad we got to hear that. But you know, verse 29 tells us something was very, very different about that kind of attitude and the attitude that these two had. They didn't reject Jesus. They received Jesus. They welcomed Jesus. How do we know? Well, let's look at verse 29 carefully. They urged Jesus strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now spent. So he went in to stay with them. Isn't that amazing? Here we all are all locked in our homes, and we're saying, oh, I guess we can't have a true celebration of the risen Lord today. No, there are no doors that could lock Jesus out. Let me tell you, the only door that would lock him out is for somebody to say, you know what? Thank you, but no thanks. There was a man named Zacchaeus. He was sort of a greedy man. He was a tax collector. How appropriate for this time of the year, April. But I'm thinking to myself, Zacchaeus was just like them. Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree. He wanted to see Jesus, and Jesus looked up at him, and he said, you know what, Zacchaeus? I'm going to go to your house today. And so Zacchaeus came down. He welcomed into his home. And I mean, he experienced total transformation. And you know what Jesus said that day? Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. I wonder if today salvation is going to come into your family. Maybe there's one family member sitting there watching it together with the others, and you've never asked Jesus. You've never personally opened your heart, even though there are others in the family that know Christ. You've never put your faith in him. You know, the Bible says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. You know, it's just that easy. It is. Since Jesus did all the heavy lifting, all we have to do is open the door. Open the door to our life and say, Lord, I believe you died for me. I trust you. I invite you today to become my Lord and my master. Oh, won't you do that? If you will simply open that kind of door today, I tell you, he will forgive you. He will save you. He will fill you. He will guide you. He will protect you. So in closing, I just want to give you the opportunity to pray right now. You don't have to be here at the front of our church in order to do that. You can do it right where you are now. You know, the Roman road to salvation is a collection of gospel truths. And it's so simple because it tells us what are the main truths that I need to know to become a Christian. What are the main things I need to know to be born again and to know that I'm going to go to heaven when I die? Here's the main truths. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The first step is to say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't get there on my own. Would you please forgive me of my sins? Romans 5:8 says that God has provided a way of salvation. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that wonderful? That while we were still rejecting him, Jesus died on the cross just for us. Oh, I want you to know he does love you. He proved how much he loved you. But there is something else. Romans 6:23 says that God extends to us this wonderful gift, but we have to receive that gift because the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So he's holding out the gift. What's your answer? Remember in Romans 10 and verse 9, remember what you have to do. You have to be willing to say Jesus is Lord, and you have to also be willing to say, I believe with all my heart that he's risen from the dead, that he's alive today. Romans 10:13 says this, whoever, that means you, right where you are, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise. All you've got to do is ask him. So let me have the privilege and the honor of guiding you in a prayer today. You can pray this silently. You can pray it out loud, verbally, right where you are. But would you just address your heart to him today as we pray together? Would you join me? You repeat after me, Heavenly Father. Thank you that you love me. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for me. Today I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I confess that I need a Savior. Please wash my sins away. Please enter my life and guide me. Please fill me, strengthen me, and protect me. Lord, I believe that Jesus is risen. I believe that he's alive. I want to follow you until my very last breath. And when I draw my last breath, Lord, I don't want to be afraid. I want to have peace that I will go to be with you in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friend, I want you to know that if you prayed that simple prayer of faith in Christ, that today you became my brother, my sister in Christ. Welcome to God's family. I want you to go through the rest of your week remembering this, that Jesus, he's alive. He is risen. God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you for being with us today.